want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries.
God, I want to welcome every person to the broadcast today. Father, I just pray for everybody that you would grant them a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation and open the eyes of their understanding, open up their heart to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for everyone this day, that the spirit of grace would rest upon them. All right, let's go ahead and get into today's message. I'm going to be speaking more on the benefits of the gospel, but I want to read something first in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And it goes on the same lines. So I believe everything is right on time. And I will just continue to let everything fall in place, and I'll just watch the plan of God unfold. You know, I heard a person say that the right opportunities don't disappear. And I believe along those lines. I believe when it's God's will, it'll come to pass for a person who follows him, and I follow God. I believe if something is the will of God for your life, God will confirm it to, you know, he'll confirm it to me and to anyone who believes. If you want to know, is this right, Lord? Keep believing. He'll confirm it to you. You know, Proverbs 19:21, New Life Version says, there are many plans in a man's heart. You know, we think, is this right? Or I want to do this, or I want to go here. Anyway, it says, there are many plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's plan that will stand. So if something's in my heart I believe is right, I just keep praying about it. And if it's God's will, it won't go away. No. Look at Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Okay, let's talk about the gospel and its benefits. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding, how's it given to us? Through his divine power, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruptions in the world through lust. Now, the great promises are the benefits of the gospel. And it's good to just keep getting the definition of the gospel. The definition, the New Testament definition of the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. It is spoken of that it is the power of God, and that is the divine power that brings all these promises, and that's where you get all the promises of God. Every one of them can be traced back to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Okay. God provides everything we need for life. You know, you can even see that when God created man in the Garden of Eden, he said, it's not good that man be alone. I will make him a helpmate. And God took a rib. He caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. He said, do you really believe this stuff? Yes, I've experienced that kind of creative power. And so I know it's just as real as it can be. Now check this out. God made Adam go into a deep sleep, and he took a rib out of Adam and closed it back up. And with the rib, he created Eve and then brought her to Adam. And like I said, I've experienced that supernatural power. So I know it's real. So it is beyond our intellect how anything could be so miraculous. But here we are. And we didn't create ourselves. Anyway, look at this in Ephesians 5:31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And you know, God, and of course, God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. God created us to procreate, you know, and that's what I call the fun commandment. And I said, thank God, you know, God wanted to have to man to reproduce and replenish the earth, and he put a benefit into it for us to do so. Now, these great and precious promises that are in verse 4 of 2 Peter 1, they make us a partaker of the divine nature. And they cause us to escape the corruption that's in the world. See, it's through those promises. You have to have these promises in your life. And being made a partaker of the divine nature, nature is being made the righteousness of God. And, you know, of course, being made the righteousness of God, I'll say it, and, you know, I know I repeat myself, but it's good. We've got to get this in our heart. Being made the righteousness of God is the same thing as being made God's very own nature. And as we get these promises, we get these promises of God through faith and patience. And they don't, you know, it's through patience. It's continuous in the faith. It's not instantaneous. Everybody, and you know, everybody wants to better themselves in life. And, you know, we look at different things to better ourselves, like our diets, eating the best food, drinking alcohol moderately, keep our drinking down. You know, I like wine. I enjoy it. And I like a mixed drink, but if I drink a little here and there, I enjoy it. If I start drinking a couple of glasses every night, I get to where I don't even enjoy it. And it's not really good for my body. And, you know, we look at, you know, keeping our in good shape physically and, you know, having a healthy social life. And then, of course, you know, our profession, you know, what we do as a job to make money. We perfect our skills in that so we can be successful financially. But the thing that some people leave out is the relationship with God, which is the most important thing in life. And, you know, I don't get into teaching about nutrition, exercise, or finances, but I do teach about spiritual life. And that, affects the rest of our well-being to some degree or another. You know, look at 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. In that while, see, the first thing you need to know is God, you know, God cares about every aspect of our life. And we saw that even when he created Adam. He said, he needs to help me. It's not good he'd be alone. And the reason God cares about every aspect of our life is because he's love. And when we receive him, we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we become his child, and he loves his children. Then we need to know, the second thing we need to know is, as our soul is made prosperous, then we'll be healthy and financially prosperous. It affects our health. Your soul being prosperous will affect your health, and it'll affect you financially. That's the only thing I do get into about where, you know, talking about health or finances. Well, I do talk a little bit about finance, but it's all tied to the gospel. Anyway, turn to Isaiah 58:6. Let's look at that. Is not this the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that is cast out to thy house, and when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him? And that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, you know, go visit your family. And shall thy light break forth, or then shall thy light break forth in the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. When does your light break forth as the morning, and thy health spring forth speedily? After you've had the yokes of the bands of wickedness broken. And let the oppressed go. And as your oppression is broken off, you deal your bread to the hungry, bring to the poor out of the house, visit your family, then your light will break forth as the morning. And your health will spring forth speedily. Do you have any health issues with your health? It may be tied, and a lot of times it's tied to bands of wickedness. Okay? 2 Corinthians 8:9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, and this is talking about financially. He was a carpenter. Jesus was a carpenter. And he did well in his business because he was rich. And yet, for our sakes, for your sakes, he became poor that ye through his poverty might be rich. And he did not become poor spiritually. He became poor financially. See, he said, the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. That was, he gave up everything when he went to the cross. He became poor. He was walking all this out for you and me. So get it straight. He did not become poor financially. He did very well. Even the garment they took off him was a very rich garment they took off him. Well, anyway, I won't get into that. I probably couldn't prove that right now. But anyway, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. So this is one of the great and precious promises that was given us, that we were made rich financially through the gospel. Romans 8:17 says, if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ, so be we suffer and we also may be glorified together. See, we're heir of God, joint heir of Christ. That means all the riches of heaven are ours. And, you know, I want to say this as you endeavor to walk with God and to walk upright for him and believe in him and get his grace working in you. You need to know the way to, I'm trying to say this right, the way that we perfect ourselves is by believing. All right? So don't be hard on yourself as you're trying to be perfected. It's a bunch of self-righteousness. And I'm doing my best to communicate this because I've seen this. People, they get into all this. Okay, don't do this, don't do that. I got to get this right. You know, God put the law of Moses in our hearts. We can see that in Romans 2:14-15. And it makes us try to do what is written in the law, or it makes us try to do what's right. This is why everybody has a sense of wanting to do what's right. They naturally, the Word of God says, they naturally try to do what's right. Even if you're not a believer, even if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you naturally will try to do what's right because of the law written in your heart. Because whatever is written in your heart is what is going to determine the way you act. And, you know, of course, everybody feels better when we do what's right. The problem is the law in us makes us want to do what's right, but it also works on the sin in us. And we can see that in Romans 7. And it excites the sin in us, and it makes the sin come alive. And the law in us also makes it difficult to do things that are right. All these things are written in Romans 7. And you say, well, that's crazy. Why would God put the law in us to make us do what's right and then make us where we're not able to do what's right, or we're constantly messing up? I'll tell you why. Because it is a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ so we can be justified by faith. See, if you could do it in yourselves, if you could do all this righteousness by yourself, then God would just give us the law. But and it tells us that righteousness does not come by the law. And so it was made to make you want to do what's right, and then to make you where you couldn't do what was right. And then it gives you the knowledge of sin, and it makes it where you can't live righteously by it. And then it brings us to Christ. And what the law should be teaching you, if you understand, is you can't do it. You can't be righteous by trying to keep the law. You know, some of the most miserable people I've ever met are people who follow the law of Moses real closely and have a bunch of sin in them. They do. They're miserable because they're guilty and they're constantly having struggles with sin, and they're always, can't do this, can't do that, don't go here, don't go there. I had a bunch of that in me too, and God's brought me out of it a long way. I hated it. I was so self-righteous, I couldn't stand myself. And that's why I learned all these things, because I started searching Scripture. I said, this can't be right to live this way. And I found out it wasn't. That God didn't want me to live under the old way of the letter, but under the new way of living by the Spirit. Look at Let's see, where do I want to go? Anyway, we go on to perfection. You got to understand this. We go on to perfection by faith. And by we're perfected by having our love perfected, our faith perfected, and joy, and all the fruits of the Spirit perfect. And that's a happy existence. That's victory. You know, this perfection by just trying to change our outward behavior and, okay, we got to say this, we got to do this. You know, we discipline ourselves to do what's right. And then we, you know, trying to, okay, I got to do this because we're afraid if we don't do this, we're wrong or we're guilty if we don't do that. No, we live by the Spirit of God. We live by a new nature. Now, we have to discipline ourselves to keep the words of God, but we do it in grace and faith. Anyway, let's go ahead and take a break here. Let's put in a song, Silent Night by Pamela Pontiff.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round young virgin mother and child.
World that you need to fear is this sin of unbelief or your refusal to believe God or your rejection of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, if you'll believe this gospel, God will make you righteous. And you keep believing the gospel, God will cause you to be willing to walk in his way. That's what I love about God. He doesn't come to get us for our sin. He comes to say, okay, here's your sin. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to bring you to my son. I'm going to make you righteous and bring you into a good relationship with me. I thought, oh, thank God. God is not like religious people taught me. Now, like I said, we have to discipline ourselves to keep the words of God. But that needs to be coupled with fear. I mean, with not fear, with faith and grace. Let me show you something about God. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5:14, Amplified Bible. For the love of Christ controls and compels us, because that we have concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And that's in the context of being transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, becoming a new creature in Christ. And the more you are, the more you'll be moved by the love of God, controlled by the love of God. And, you know, you say, well, I know people that haven't even received the Lord that are loving towards others. Yes, but they don't walk in the Spirit of God. And, you know, I've been asking God about people that they're kind and loving. And I said, what is that in them if they haven't been spiritually regenerated, they're not abiding in Christ? And I really don't know, to be honest with you. And so I'll just leave it alone for now, because, you know, there's still a lot of things I'm learning and I don't know the answer for everything. I know the right way to go, though. Anyway, God wants to bring us, like I said, out of the oldness of the letter, living by the law, living by some dead letter, to living a new life in the Spirit of God. I love being in the presence of God. I love communing with God in the Spirit. God is a glorious person. He's just like His Word says, He's love. So anyway, let's move on to the next section of this teaching. I want to put some more pieces of the puzzle together and show you, get this in your heart, that the great and precious promises are the salvation of God. And salvation means to save, deliver, protect, heal, preserve. It's salvation is an all-inclusive word that covers everything we need in life. And these great and precious promises are God's salvation. Okay. Here are some of the promises of God that we can see are God's salvation. By His stripes, we were healed physically, and our soul was healed. Jesus became poor financially. We were made rich. Jesus became sin. We were made righteous. Jesus became a curse and redeemed us from the curse. Jesus paid for our sins, and we were forgiven. Jesus was cut off from God so we could be reconciled to God. Okay? These are all of God's salvation, and these are all the promises that make us a partaker of the divine nature. So we need to have our thinking corrected from the religious tradition that salvation is just receiving eternal life. Salvation is everything we need in life. There's not one thing that you need that the gospel doesn't provide. Look at Romans 1:16, 17, International Standard Version. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is God's power for the salvation of everyone who believes, of the Jew first and also the Greek as well. For in the gospel, God's righteousness is being revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. See, the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation, everything you need, makes you righteous, so you can live by faith or live righteous. We saw that it was His divine power in 2 Peter that gave us all the precious, great and precious promises. He's saying the same thing. Now, I want to reassure your hearts that those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ have eternal life. It is a gift. You don't have to earn it, and you don't have to grow to a certain level of faith and righteousness to have eternal life. Look at 1 John 2:16. For all is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So you receive the Lord, you do the will of God, you will live forever. Look at Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means renovation. That's the Greek word for renovation or rebuilding, like you go in and you rebuild a building. In some cases, you gut the whole thing out and rebuild the walls and everything. And this is the renewing of your mind. This word is will, also, I forgot what else it means, but the rebuilding of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there's three, it defines the will of God in three areas. So we have to do the will of God to abide forever, to keep eternal life. And there's a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And when you receive Jesus, you're in the good will of God. And as you grow spiritually or become conformed to the image of God, you get into the acceptable will of God. And then you get into the perfect will of God. But wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you have eternal life. Okay? You don't have to get to the acceptable or perfect to have eternal life. You get it the day you receive Jesus. Just stay with the Lord. You know, I remember when I was at work many years ago, this before I started my business, and I used to work for Frito-Lay, and I was doubting I was saved. And I was at work one day, and I was sitting there saying to myself, that scripture in Romans 10:9 says, well, if I confess Jesus, Lord, believe God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. I finally stopped after I said it several times to myself. I believe that. And just shortly after that, I went up to the break room, and as I was sitting there, a strong peace came upon me. You know, it says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And anyway, so the strong peace came upon me, and a person stuck their head through the door, smiled at me, and then left. Now, it was either the Lord or an angel. And I couldn't see them with my physical eye, but I knew a spiritual person was standing there. And I knew they smiled at me. And so, you know, you want to know what pleases God? It's your faith, and when you put your faith in His Son. That's what pleases God. That's how easy it is to please God. Just believe Him. Use your faith, and God is pleased. Okay? You don't have to perform for God. You don't have to. You can't save yourself from sins, and you don't have to do all this good works to please God. Just believe Him. So just take a deep breath and just relax and say, you know what? God is pleased with me. You know, you might want to say that to yourself. God is pleased with me when I received His Son. God is pleased with me when I use my faith. God is pleased with me by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. See, when you receive Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. So, see, God is love. He doesn't come to you and say, bow down to me and do what I say or I will punish you. No, He came and He died for our sin. He was buried and then He rose from the dead to justify. So if you reject that love, if you reject the love of the gospel, Jesus dying for you and being raised again, that's on you. You're the bad guy or bad girl, not God. See, God didn't do that to you. All right? And, you know, everybody knows we need to do what's right. And, you know, people's hearts are sinful. And if you hadn't figured that out, you will. And we don't all, that's why we can't always do what's right, because of the condition of our heart. You say, well, I've never received the Lord, and I always do what's right. Well, I guarantee you, if we did an examination on you, you might not get as high a grade on your test as you think. Okay? And when you start to, when God begins to deal with your life, that's when you begin to say, oh, that I see that in me. That's not good. I see this in me. That's not good. But you need to know this. You're going to feel condemned at first because of the law of Moses in your heart. Because the law of Moses gives the knowledge of sin and makes you feel guilty. But God immediately wants to bring you to His Son and bring you out from underneath the law. He doesn't train you with guilt. He doesn't change your life with guilt. He does it with love and faith. All right? So He doesn't want you to stay under guilt. He just uses it as a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ, then immediately brings you out from a... Now, of course, it takes time to get out from underneath the law. It's not easy to get out from underneath the law. But we'll go into that. I've gone into it, and I'll go into it again in different podcasts. Okay, Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction... Now, look at this. The reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You want to stay in the way of life? There it is. Receive instruction. Receive correction and instruction. Now, let's talk about how we have to fight to get the blessings of God. They're already given to us, but we have an enemy standing in the way to try to stop us from receiving the blessing. And, you know, I used to think, God, why don't you just get rid of the devil? And everything will be cool. And I slowly learned that we're transformed as we're resisting the devil steadfast in the faith and wrestling the devil in prayer. So you have to put this truth together with other promises about being transformed, like the one I read in Romans 12, like the promise of being transformed by the renewing of the rebuilding mind. Well, guess what? Your mind is rebuilt as you're going through temptation. All right? The Bible all fits together. All right? You know, every Christian will have to learn to wrestle with the devil in prayer, or at least, let me say this, and maybe this will help you. At least the leaders will have to overcome the devil in prayer to come in and then be able to bring the people of God into the fullness of the blessings of the gospel. This is coming into the land. I believe that you'll either have to overcome the devil yourself or be with an apostle and prophet's ministry as they lead a group of people into the land. Okay? I'm just considering all these things. I think this is more pieces of the puzzle because some people can't pray through this stuff. They just don't have the strength. You know, when God led the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the wilderness and dealt with their life in the wilderness, then he brought them into the promised land or the land of Canaan. And this is an example to all believers. And this is the way of God. He leads you out of Egypt into the wilderness. He's always led his people that way. He brings them out of the world through the wilderness to have their heart dealt with. And we can see how Joshua and Caleb, they were leading the children of Israel after Moses died. They brought the women and the children to the land of Canaan. And the women and the children weren't even involved in the warfare. Now, women, they had to kill 31 kings as they went through the wilderness, and they had to kill the inhabitants of the land to go in and possess the land. And it's equivalent to us in our modern time. We don't go kill people to get into the blessing. We wrestle the devil, and we have to overcome the devil and to go into the land. Now, there are women also that can warfare spiritually. And I've seen some women that can pray pretty fervently. And when I talk about a warfare, I'm talking about wrestling the devil in prayer. But not everybody can do that. And some people need more help than others. The bottom line is, this is one thing I know for sure. Because I've just been concerned as, well, Lord, what about the people that can't fight very hard? Well, I believe that, I know for sure, the body of Christ will go into the land and the strong will bear the infirmities of the weak. And anyway, we'll see more. I don't want to say more about it because I'm not totally convinced of all of this. But I've been talking to God about ministering to people, and I want to minister people that it's hard to wrestle with the devil. And along the lines of that, I believe they will go into the land with apostle prophet. Okay, I better leave that alone. Anyway, you know, I will encourage this. Go check out my audio that I put on my teaching page called Praying Fervently. It's about 13 minutes long. You may not want to listen to the whole thing, but just go to scottparkeronline.com. Go over to the teaching page. Click on that teaching link and then scroll to the bottom, and there's an audio there. And in that audio, I'm reading the Psalms fervently. And this is how you wrestle with the devil in prayer. Reading the Word of God out loud is a form of prayer. And I learned this by experience. But as you pray, whether it be reading the Word out loud or prayers that God gives you, as you pray fervently and just keep praying fervently, you get your faith flowing, and then you will engage these spirits. And when you engage them, then you can begin to wrestle with them. And it is just like it's written in the Word of God. I've got in this where I could feel myself wrestling with spirits because, you know, you think, well, how do you wrestle with an unseen spiritual being by praying? Well, you just have to experience it, but you can feel these forces come against you as you're praying, and it is intense, okay? And I've sat there and prayed where it was so intense that I did it this one audio, I lost it. But I lost my voice as I was praying, but there was strong faith in my heart, and I just kept praying and praying and praying, and I got my voice back. But I would wrestle these spirits until I finally got on top of them, and I could feel myself breaking through. But, you know, that's all I can say. I know you probably think I'm crazy. There's no such thing as the devil or spirits. Well, okay, well, you can think what you want about me. I don't really care. But I know. See, it's just like I know the power of God is real. I know the devil is real. I know wrestling with spirits are real. See, you can experience all these things, but you'll never know them until you make effort to walk in them. And then God will open up your heart. And in experiencing things, you know, it says, they that say they know God and keep not his commandments are liars. You know how you get to know God? Keeping his word. Because you get to, he will manifest himself to you when you keep his words. And, you know, that's why God's been with me for years. And, you know, I had recently where I had a situation where I thought, what's going on in my body? I wasn't sure if I was sick or something. The devil's trying to scare me. I mean, I thought I might have some serious thing going on in my body. And the Lord began to manifest to me about how surely he had borne my sicknesses and carried my disease in Isaiah 53:4. And amen, I had revelation of that. And I knew it was the Lord ministering it to me. And then I was recently talking to one of the directors of my ministry, and I had revelation of how the power of God is going to be poured out through my ministry and how, you know, what effect it was going to have in the earth. And I thought, see, God's been with me all these years, and he reveals these things to me. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. And, you know, he makes me use my faith. Sometimes I think, where are you, God? Well, he's right there. Anyway, let me say this. If you don't know what the Word of God teaches about having to win one battle after another, you know, like the children of Israel had to win one battle after another to go into the land, then you could win a battle and then you think, well, I'm still not in the land, and I won another battle and I'm still not, and you could think, well, this won't work. Well, it does. You have to keep after it. You have to keep after it. And the more battles you win, the more spirits you overcome, the more your life will get better, okay? And you'll get more and more blessings, and you'll eventually go into the land. And the Word of God compares going to the land as going into the walk of the Spirit. Now, you can get in the Spirit in the meantime, but you can't stay in the Spirit. But you reach a place where you overcome these spirits enough where you can walk in the Spirit all the time. And so, you know, not all of God's people are able to do this. We're going to see. I want God to give me more understanding of this. You know, I remember when I was in Marine Corps boot camp, we were running down the beach one time, and some of the guys were weaker, and they were straggling behind. And the platoon leader took the whole platoon and circled back around and picked those up that were weak. That's how I believe some of us as leaders in the body of Christ are going to do. Some of the weak, we're going to go back and we're going to turn the whole body of Christ around, go back and get them, say, come on, you can do it. We're with you. We're going to help you. We're going to strengthen you. You know, God working through our hearts is going to strengthen you so you can do it. So, anyway, God's going to bring his people into the land. And we're going to get there. We just have to keep fighting, keep believing God, and we'll get there. Let me look at time. 34. Oh, okay. See, I'm getting better every week. I wanted to keep it down to 30 minutes. I'm still going over it, but I'm doing better. And, you know, I could go on and on, you know, but I know that people can only receive so much in one sitting. And so, anyway, that's why I'm gearing this. And I'm probably going to have some audios I put out there being shorter, just for little tidbits of exhortations, encouraging people. I got all kinds of things that are going on in my heart that I want to do. Anyway, if you've never been saved, you've never been born again, you need to be. Come to the Lord. You can get to know the Lord. But it all starts when you receive Jesus. That's when the start of spiritual regeneration starts. That's when the Spirit of Christ enters into you. And then as you continue in his words, you'll be set free. And as you keep his words, you can get to know the Lord. So say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I just receive you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Say that and mean it. The Spirit of Christ will enter into you. Jesus, I want you. I want you right now. I receive you right now. I want to know you're real, so I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I want you to convince me you're real. So I receive you by faith, and then I'm going to walk. I'm going to continue in your word. I want you to reveal to me you're real. I receive you now, and I thank you that you died for me. You were buried, and you were raised from the dead to justify me. All right. I hope that this podcast ministered to you. I hope you were encouraged by it. That's what I live for, is to preach this gospel, teach the words of God. I want to see people set free. I want to see people grow spiritually. I want to see them be overcomers. All right. So that's all I got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry and music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.